Speak to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. One like to invite you to turn to the gospel in your bulletin, an opportunity for us to take a few moments of reflection today. Anybody else feel like it's really weird that we're focused on the Virgin Mary this morning? Like we're nowhere near Lent, we're nowhere near Advent, why would they do this? But in the church calendar, it is placed at this point of the year for us to take a few moments. I have placed a page of notes in your bulletin that I won't get a chance to get to in our 5 minutes that we're supposed to restrict to in our homily time. So please read those at your leisure as well. Let me just very quickly say a couple of things that are really important. If you had five people you could sit down and spend an hour and a half with and enjoy a meal together, who would those five people be? For me, one of the five would be the Blessed Virgin Mary. And I got to tell you that one of the most profound moments for me was the movie, and I believe it was called The Passion of Christ. Have I got that right? And in the middle of that, Mel Brooks had been influential in how that was interpreted. And during the scourging, beating of Jesus by the Roman soldiers, they have an image in the middle of the movie of Mary off to the side watching. Can you imagine that? For so many of you caring for your children and your grandchildren, what if you knew from the moment you gave birth to that child that it was going to go through the worst experiences of all? And how would you carry the weight of that and still believe in God? Somehow Mary was able to balance that, to believe in God, knowing that she was giving birth to the Savior of the world. I'd like to spend an hour and a half simply chatting with her, trying to understand the depth of that kind of faith, to live through all of it. There is some writing to suggest that once Jesus had died and rose again, and that the ministry was instrumental, the beginning of the church began to happen. Some writers indicate that Mary was at the center of that, and that it was her home that hosted some of those early ministries. You get 11 or 12 guys together trying to do something, you need a woman to supervise. Her gentle spirit, her conviction, her commitment is profound. Now, if I was to look at this from an exegetical perspective, then it would be important for me to share with you that it's filled with Old Testament allusions and quotations, that it's clear that Mary's mind and heart is saturated with the Word of God. Now, I know better than to give women advice about anything, but it is an extraordinary example that Mary's mind and heart was saturated with the Word of God. I don't think women or men could go wrong there, to be saturated with the Word of God. That means that we're in the Word as often as we possibly can be. It also means that we take chunks of it and that they become part of our memory cycle of how to handle the stresses and anxieties of life. Her mind and heart were saturated by the Word of God. It's also clear in the gospel that she is looking for the divine grace that she knows that we all need. That divine grace that changes our hearts and our minds to be faithful to God was part of her journey as well. And third, that the passage is absolutely packed with allusions to the laws, the Psalms, and the prophets, reciting the covenant of the relationship between God and humanity. Now, if I was to step back from the passage for a moment, I find it fascinating, that God would choose a young woman to get pregnant in a culture that found it so difficult for women to be independent, to make up their own mind. I also find it fascinating that her fiancé was willing to stand the brutal punishment of those circumstances. Whether he received that punishment or not, the reality was his love for her, his respect for her, was such that he was prepared to take the scrutiny of the society that he lived in. Mary seemed to have this extraordinary ability, may I suggest, by divine grace, to withstand all kinds of pressures, anxieties, and uncertainties about her journey. Now, I know the theological discussion that has been happening for thousands of years of what it means to speak of a virgin birth. I know the controversy that would suggest that her sanctification happened before she was born. I know about the theories and the theological study about whether she was divine. I just need you to know that from my perspective, this was a human being who in her teenage years had amazing plans for her life. She was going to marry the guy of her dreams, and they were going to have a family and enjoy life. And there were more challenges and obstacles and struggles than she could have possibly imagined, but maintained that extraordinary faith. Now, when Donna gets home today, she's going to turn to Brother Mark and she's going to say, he talked about you today. I love how Brother Mark is about as subtle as a large brick. And he said to me on our recent camping trip, did you bring the Eucharist? And then he said to me, wouldn't it be wonderful if we just sat in these two chairs, looked out on this extraordinary vista of the beauty of the island where we were, and just had a little time in prayer? I said, sure, a little time in prayer is probably good. You're ordained, I'm ordained, we're both supposed to be praying daily. Why not? He said, good, and then he disappeared, and this was my only hint of what was to come. He brought back two binders, which means they didn't come out of nowhere. He prepared for this event. And he said, don't you think that two faithful clergy could sit here and pray together and say the rosary? I said, little problem, forgot the rosary. He said, that's okay, it's all on paper. I brought the entire liturgy. I got to tell you, what an amazing experience to stare out at God's extraordinary creation and to pray that service with that focus on the ministry of Mary. The ministry of Mary. A simple human being who accepted extraordinary responsibility and gave us very much the human side of Jesus. Every mother in the room knows that there's a pretty good chance one of your kids is going to turn out just like you. We have one who will remain nameless. But believe me, she is Joyce Jr., without a doubt. If you have poured into them who you are, if you have poured into them what you believe, if you have poured into them the essence of what it is to have character, and if for whatever wonderful reason that is blessed, then you know what it's like. And you know that Mary poured into Jesus all that she knew, all that she believed, her love, her grace, and her compassion. And so today we do give thanks for Mary's ministry. And may I dare suggest that there are many in this room today who already do or could well consider the possibility of how that grace of Christ flows through you when your mind and your heart is immersed in the Word of God, which gives you grace and humility. Something to pray about. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.